Today is Thursday, March 28th. We're talking about Boeing's new plan for its planes and controversy over funding for the Special Olympics, plus new tools coming to stop scam robocalls, MLB's opening day, and a new Easter-inspired coffee. Then hang out after the news for Thing to Know Thursday's bonus interview, what you might not know about e-cigarettes. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in less than 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. Boeing says it has a new plan for its planes to improve safety and restore faith in the industry. Remember, hundreds of Boeing 737 MAX planes around the world are grounded right now because of two deadly plane crashes within the last 6 months. Now CNBC reports the company announced an update for its anti-stall software, new cockpit alerts, and extra pilot training for its 737 MAX planes. The software may have been a factor in both 737 MAX plane crashes, first in Indonesia in October, then in Ethiopia earlier this month. The new plan still needs to be approved by the FAA here in the U.S. and go through more testing. But the FAA itself is also under fire. The New York Times reports senators grilled FAA officials about how and why they approved the aircraft in the first place. The New York Times reports federal aviation officials defending themselves, saying the process is extensive and well-established. Still, the Department of Transportation's Inspector General plans to do an audit, so stay tuned for that. For now, the 737 MAX planes are still out of service for the foreseeable future. The Trump administration wants to cut funding for the Special Olympics, and it's getting plenty of criticism. So much so, Education Secretary Betsy DeVos is defending the decision. Critics are calling the budget cut outrageous and unbelievable, saying they don't understand why officials want to take millions of dollars away from disabled children. But DeVos is defending herself and the cut. Politico says DeVos argues her position was mischaracterized, that she supports the Special Olympics, but says it's a private organization, and the federal government cannot fund every worthy nonprofit. The cut is part of a proposed budget for next year, so it's not a done deal. In fact, ABC News reports it probably won't pass Congress as is. Still, the proposed budget gives us a look at the White House's priorities. All right, time for an update on Brexit, because originally the deadline for Britain to leave the European Union was this Friday. Not anymore. A lot has happened. The latest, UK Prime Minister Theresa May says she's ready to quit if Parliament agrees on a Brexit divorce deal. It's basically her way of trying to finally get a deal passed, saying if people want new leadership, she won't stand in the way once the deal is done. But so far, The Guardian reports lawmakers there are still at a deadlock. Parliament voted again yesterday on 8 different Brexit deal options, and none of them got the thumbs up. And before that, Parliament rejected May's Brexit deal twice. Most everyone wants some sort of deal to help make exiting the EU as smooth as possible. The problem is they can't agree on what kind of deal that should be, and there are global and economic implications no matter what. At least they have a bit more time to figure this all out. The EU already agreed to delay the deadline that was supposed to be this Friday. Instead, it'll be one of two options. One, approve a divorce deal soon and then leave on May 22nd. Or two, possibly leave without a deal on April 12th if they can't compromise, which many say could be a disaster. Parliament is expected to vote again. To be continued. Facebook is tackling hate speech and banning white nationalism from the site. Reuters reports civil rights groups have pressured Facebook to do more, and now it seems the pressure worked. So the ban will start next week. Engadget reports Facebook will use machine learning and artificial intelligence to detect posts supporting white supremacy, white nationalism, or white separatism. Then delete those posts. And if someone searches for white supremacy, a link to the page Life After Hate will pop up. That's a nonprofit that helps people leave hate groups. This is all happening after a suspected white supremacist live-streamed that mass shooting in New Zealand. So we've all gotten those annoying robocalls. Well, CNET says at least 4 of the operations were caught and shut down. The Federal Trade Commission, or FTC, says they made billions of illegal calls. One of the companies was running a charity scam and convinced people to donate cars and boats. Another pretended to represent Google. Others pitched home warranties and low interest rates. But now the companies are settling for millions of dollars and are banned from any future robocalls. Will it really cut down on the number of calls coming to your phone? TechCrunch says maybe a little. But here's some more good news when it comes to robocalls. Verizon is expected to release a new tool as soon as today to help screen and block those spam calls on your cell phone. Right now, you can get the tech for an extra fee, but CBS News reports Verizon plans to offer some of the features for free by the end of the week. T-Mobile already has some free tools available as well, and the FTC is telling all wireless carriers to get on board with this kind of free tech by the end of the year. More news ahead, but first a quick break to thank this week's sponsor, Swap.com. I'm someone who does a number on my shoes. I don't know if it's the way I walk or what, but most shoes I buy wear out pretty quickly. So I hate spending a bunch of money on brand new shoes. That's why I like that you can save up to 90% off retail prices with Swap.com. Maybe you don't like spending a bunch of money on workout clothes, or maybe it's clothes for your kids that they'll outgrow in just a few months. No matter what, Swap.com has you covered for women's, men's, juniors, kids, baby, and maternity, all with your favorite brands like Lululemon, Carter's, Nike, J.Crew, and Gap. And once you try it out, if something doesn't fit, they have hassle-free returns within 30 days. And you can feel good about it. Get this, if everyone dedicated just 10% of their purchases to secondhand, it would be like taking a million cars off the road for a year in terms of emissions reductions. And right now, Swap.com has a special offer for the Newsworthy listeners. Go to swap.com/newsworthy and you can sign up to get free shipping on your first purchase. Be sure to enter your email address to get that offer. That's swap.com/newsworthy. It's a low-risk way to give online thrifting a try. Now back to the news. It's opening day in the U.S. for Major League Baseball, and it's the earliest opening day ever. There are 15 games on the schedule for today, and it all starts on the East Coast just after 1 p.m. local time. Well, it's the third largest jackpot in Powerball history after months of no winner. But now, as of last night, someone who bought a ticket in Wisconsin won the $750 million. Don't feel bad if you didn't win. Your odds of winning were just 1 in 292 million. Peeps flavored coffee is coming to Dunkin' Donuts. Peeps, as in those colorful marshmallow chicks you see for Easter. USA Today says this is the first time Dunkin' is offering Peeps coffee, and it all starts in April. You can get donuts topped with Peeps as well. By the way, Peeps just came out with 7 new flavors, including pancakes and syrup, root beer float, and blue raspberry. You can get them now through Easter. And that's it for the main news today, but it's now time for Thing to Know Thursday, where a different expert explains a different thing to know only on Thursdays after the news. This week, we're talking about e-cigarettes, everything from how they're different from traditional cigarettes to what you might not know about the epidemic among teens, and more. My guest today is the CEO and president of Truth Initiative. It's a national public health organization dedicated to achieving a culture where all youth and young adults reject tobacco. She led the Truth Campaign, which was voted one of the most influential campaigns of the 21st century. She's also a New York Times best-selling author, and she's been featured everywhere from NBC News to MarketWatch. So here's my conversation with Robin Koval. Hi, Robin. Thanks so much for coming on the Newsworthy.
Oh, my pleasure. Great to be here.
In case someone is not familiar with what electronic cigarettes are, can you first give us a very brief overview of what they are and how they work and why they're different from traditional cigarettes?
Well, sure. So e-cigarettes is a pretty broad category right now that includes everything from, you know, the original kind that looked like a cigarette actually to the most advanced kinds that we see today, which, you know, are the pod devices like Juul. But basically, they're electronic devices that heat usually a nicotine solution with flavors. Propylene glycol is in there as well. And you vaporize that, you inhale on it. And although some people say, oh, it's just water vapor, it's not. It's a combination of chemicals that are heated, including nicotine. And you inhale that as opposed to a cigarette. There's no combustion. So with a cigarette, you actually burn tobacco and, of course, 6,000 other chemicals that are in there. And the difference, therefore, is although e-cigarettes, as I would say, they're safer, but they're not safe, what you don't have are the products of combustion that you do in a regular cigarette, which, of course, we know from many, many years of research is the most deadly.
Because it's safer than traditional cigarettes, are you still concerned about what the FDA is calling an epidemic among teens and the use of e-cigarettes? And how did we get to have this problem?
E-cigarettes are a very new category. There isn't the years and years of research. So right now we know they're not as deadly as a cigarette, but we don't know by how much. What has happened because of the marketing tactics used by many of these companies, and most notably by Juul, which now has over 70%, about 75% of the e-cigarette market, is they were marketed with these very attractive flavors, mango, fruit medley, creme brulee. Some of the manufacturers, not Juul specifically, even have flavors like unicorn vomit and cotton candy and things that are obviously youth appealing. Juul also, for instance, had a social media campaign that was very, very youth and young adult directed. And so because of a lot of things like that, instead of being adopted widely by adult smokers, which would have probably been, you know, something that might have helped, what has happened instead is young people, many under the age of 18, who are using these products illegally, I will say, have adopted these products so that now, in the latest data that we have from the CDC, we know, and by the way, this data is already a year old, so these numbers are probably low, we know that 20% of high school students have said they have vaped in the last 30 days. So that, by anyone's estimation, including the Surgeon General's, is literally an epidemic.
This is something that actually does have nicotine in it. So we're not just talking about, oh, get off the video game. We're talking about you actually might be addicted, right?
Yes. Now, these products, you know, young people think they're just vaping flavor and water. But in fact, products, especially ones like Juul, so some of the newer products, these pod products, have very high levels of nicotine. Juul themselves have said that one Juul pod has the same nicotine as a pack of cigarettes. And so what happens is young people use these products. They have no idea there's all this nicotine in them. Our research said 2/3 of young people don't know a Juul always has nicotine in it. So they're very confused. They can use these products pretty much 24/7. So unlike a cigarette where you can't smoke in class, you probably can't smoke at home. With these products, they're small, they're easy to conceal, parents don't even know what they look like or are, teachers also. They don't emit those big plumes of vapor that some of the earlier vape devices did. So, I mean, a young person literally could sit in their room and vape the entire night. They do it in classrooms too. Teachers are constantly confiscating these. Some schools are calling, you know, the bathroom the Juul room now because it gets used for that more often than anything else. And we hear story after story, and I've spoken to many of these kids, of kids who had no idea what they were signing up for, who are becoming addicted in very short periods of time because they're getting so much nicotine and they don't know what to do.
So the FDA has at least been threatening to crack down on the industry and how they can market to teens. For example, they've gotten e-cigarette maker Juul that you mentioned to get off of social media, right? So there's a lot of talk now about the flavors and how those can be sold. Where do the regulations stand today, and what do you expect to come of this?
So just last week, the FDA, Commissioner Gottlieb, proposed new guidelines that e-cigarettes containing tobacco, mint, and menthol flavors could still be allowed to be sold in convenience stores, but that the flavored ones, so the fruit flavors and the candy flavors, would only be sold in gated establishments. So let's say a vape shop where they have to ID you when you come in. The problem with that is, unfortunately, that mint and menthol are very popular flavors with young people.
I do want to mention that a recent study of British adults found e-cigarettes were almost twice as effective as other nicotine replacement products. So, you know, what you had mentioned was the original reason that e-cigarettes were supposed to help traditional smokers. Do you think there's still an argument there that there's the potential for e-cigarettes to do good?
So I would say, hypothetically, what we learned from the study in the UK is under very specific conditions, with people who are motivated to quit, e-cigarettes could help. And they can only help if you 100% quit, so not dual using. They could be added to the toolbox. They're not a substitution for all the other things that we know can help smokers quit. And of course, we want all smokers to quit. You know, we still have 36 million smokers in the United States. And as I said before, the risk to them is, you know, unfortunately dire. 50% of them will die of a smoking-related disease if they keep smoking.
And you can find more resources and information for both teens and parents at truthinitiative.org. I'll link to that website in today's show notes on thenewsworthy.com. As always, that's also where you'll find more about all the stories we talked about in this episode. Go to thenewsworthy.com, click episodes, and look for today's date. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for sharing this episode if you got value out of it. And The Newsworthy is here for you by 4 in the morning every weekday. So we'll chat again tomorrow. Have a great day.